heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
That was a very interesting piece I was reading in The Hill. Donald Trump's no racist, as past acts and presidential record prove. Now, this was written from an op-ed piece now, written from an Andrew Stein. And what's interesting is that this is a Democrat. This is a long-life Democrat, this man is. He's known Trump from the New York days. And I want to read you this here, please, because he says some eye-opening points here. Again, on the fact of whether, and what we want to talk about is Donald Trump a racist? So Andrew says, Donald Trump is no racist. I have known him since 1973 and have never seen any indication or any form of racism. Quite the contrary. Now listen to this carefully. When I was Manhattan Borough President and President of the New York City Council, I asked him numerous times to help Black or Hispanic groups, and he always came through, many times without publicity. When a hurricane ravished Puerto Rico in the mid-1980s, I asked many big companies to give various forms of assistance. But the problem was how to get all this aid down to Puerto Rico. I called Donald Trump, and he provided us with a 727 jet to take all of the donated material down to the island. And he didn't ask for any publicity for that generous act. And, you know, and the reason he says, I appreciate what he says there, Andrew, because most people that do these things do it 100% for the publicity. Let's face it, people. Even good people do it for the publicity. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with that. But Andrew's pointing out that there was no publicity on the things I'm going to tell you right now. So don't even begin to tell me he was doing this for the notoriety of it, because you're lying. So the point is, he did it because it was in his heart. It was in his soul. And what he's pointing out here, that is, if you look at President Trump's past record, no matter what you say, he's not a racist. What I want to prove to you today, people, is that Donald Trump is no racist. And I'm going to tell you why that is, but I'm also going to explain to you why they're using racism as their weapon of choice. Back to this article and what Andrew Stein says here. He says next, my friend, Reverend Floyd Flake, the minister of the largest Black church in Queens, asked for some help for his senior center. Again, I called Donald Trump and he wrote a big check. One day I met an African-American woman on the street and her two adorable young kids. She was homeless. I gave her some money and then asked Donald to get her into some low-income housing in Queens. He came through and did so without any fanfare. Andrew goes on to say, the president is honest and doesn't parse his words like most politicians, and that drives the media crazy. But his honesty is refreshing, and he is usually right, if not always diplomatic. You hear what Andrew says there, people? That's what's driving them absolutely ballistic crazy. The president's honest to a fault, people. He doesn't parse his words. I get that. I get what that out loud truth means. I think I understand Donald Trump. I get it. I mean, I've been accused of many of the things Donald Trump is accused of, quite frankly. Like most politicians, because they do that, he does not. And that drives the media crazy. But his honesty is refreshing, and he is usually right, because honesty wins, and a sensibility of working from your heart and doing the right thing will always win. And that's why he's usually right, because he doesn't always have another agenda. Now, he goes on to say, Andrew, African-American and Hispanic unemployment under his presidency is the lowest it has been in 60 years. And in other cases, friends, it's more than just even that. In other cases, it's historic. I mean, historic, like it's never been that low before. So the president is a new ground, Now, nobody's talking about that. Now, you know, if the president had done that in any particular case before, that would be all over the nightly news. You'd hear that on CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN. You'd hear that everywhere from sea to shining sea. You don't hear a darn thing about any of this stuff. Nothing. It's just an empty sound of nothingness you get from everything that is being accomplished right now. Because they hate the president. And because they think he's ignorant. And he's, again, whatever you call it, non-presidential. But they don't like his words. They cut through them. And they just see this man as a hateful xenophobe and a racist white supremacist, a Nazi. You know, that's what they see him as. Those are strong words, people. We don't normally run around in this country calling our president a white supremacist and Nazi. That's not normal talk here in America. Maybe some of your extreme lunatics have done that over the course of time, but it's not normal practice for middle America to do that, quite frankly, you know? So again, lowest unemployment, 60 years, all of that, you got that. Well, the president pushed through criminal justice reform and has created empowerment zones that create economically distressed communities, okay? And their poorer residents through tax incentives and grants. So he's done this all for the poor residents. In short, he has done more for minorities in 3 years than President Obama did in 8. And he deserves credit instead of rebuke. Now, that's what Andrew says there. And that puts it out there pretty well. That's why he says, this Democrat leader in New York says, Donald Trump's no racist, as past acts and presidential record prove. Now, I applaud Andrew for saying what he says there. Now, listen, I want to get back to the public and some of the feeds of what people are thinking about Trump and why this is impacting middle America. The biggest concern I have, people, that I've been concerned with is that more people in the middle aisle get turned off. And I'm praying that's not the case. I know some of you are confident that won't happen. I'm praying that's not the case because we certainly want a successful conservative-driven president in there for sure. So I'm prayerful that that doesn't happen because we need to attract the middle aisle. We need to attract independents. We need to attract just left of center. We need to attract blue dog Democrats. We need to attract independent minds and voices. That's why I consistently tell you to please invite them in here so I can talk nice to them, please. And I'll kiss up to them if I need to kiss up to them. We need their votes. We need to make sure we stay on the course of saving America. If we continue to turn those people off, that middle aisle, and we lose that middle aisle, we are risking big time. We are risking not just the presidency, but Congress, the House and Senate. And at that point, people, wow, you better brace yourself because you're looking at a socialist radical agenda like you've never seen before. So I cringe at the thought of that, quite frankly. It makes me nervous. Now, for those of you that are overconfident, good for you. But you know what? I love this country too much to see it torn apart and put in the hands of these lunatic people that are on the running on the socialist, radical, Marxist agenda. The Saul Alinsky people I'm talking about, those people, correct. Hook, line, and sinker, all 20-some-odd thousand of them, however many there are that are running for the president of the Democratic Party. I've lost count. I don't watch the debates or whatever they call themselves that they do because I find their agenda in the lunacy bin. I can't stomach, as a decent, loving American as you are out there, cannot stomach to listen to what they want to do to our country, what they want to do to capitalism, what they want to do to our borders, what they want to do to our economy, what they want to do to our lives. Cannot stand to watch that, will not watch that, will not stomach that. So the only time I'll see that is when it gets into the general debate because I don't watch these clowns now. It serves me no goodwill. I just read the couple of headlines or the sound bites that I need so I can talk to you. I know enough of the rubbish they're going to say. Why waste that my brain on that stuff? I'd rather talk about some of the more confident things with you that we can talk about so we can join forces and do some good work. So, and I understand their debates are being, they're very low attendance that are watching them because they frustrate the hell out of you, you know? Unless it is you take a shot, a drink for every time they say something stupid, but then again, you better be home and safe because you'll be drinking a lot that night, I'll tell you that much. So, anyways, Joe Biden comes out. He says Trump is fueling a literal carnage. That's the headline with the Associated Press. Of course, the AP would love to see a President Joe Biden. Now, Joe, of course, is the Democratic presidential frontrunner. And he says that while he's in Iowa, he says Trump is incapable, Biden says, of offering the moral leadership. And of course, Joe Biden is the king of morality, so he's got that down, right? By offering the moral leadership that has defined the presidency over the course of history. Let me take that and extract what that really means. What Donald Trump lacks is the leadership that Joe Biden sees, as I've already pointed out to you people, the leadership that is the politically correct, act like a president, walk like a president, talk like a president, be a president. That's the kind of president we need you to be. That's what he means by the moral leadership. Because you see, Trump says what's on his mind. You're not supposed to do that as a president. See, you're not supposed to speak frankly to the American people. Well, I've come to the point now of respecting that. I respect a president who speaks the truth. You know, does he cross the line? Does he say some things in some tweets that really kind of, well, that's up to each person to define, people. If you're in it for the enjoyment and the entertainment, you'll probably think it's all fine and good. And listen, with what the political class have done to our country, you know, I think there's a hell of an argument there, isn't there, people? That, you know what, at that point, if that's the worst of the party, maybe we can handle just that, can't we now? A little bit of truth with our cornflakes. Boy, wouldn't that be a new brand of cornflakes for all of us in America, huh? We've been screwed over, blued, and tattooed for so many years of our lives from these clowns. I mean, come on. So, yeah, this is a new breed. It's a new... So, yeah, he doesn't have the moral leadership you want, Joe Biden. We know what kind of leadership you're going to have. That's not what this man is. He doesn't fit the establishment. He doesn't fit the politically correct. He doesn't fit the deep state. He doesn't fit the Bush and the whole Bush, Clinton, the Romneys, you know, the Billy Crystals, all of those people that are... They're sticks in the mud. People, these are not the kind of people you invite to a party. You wouldn't invite any of those people to your home to a party. Get out of here. I wouldn't. You wouldn't. We like to party, right? We wouldn't invite these cats to our party. We'd invite Donald Trump, though. That's your bottom line, we would. We'd invite Trump to the party just because he's a fun light. You know he's going to dance. He's going to act just like I would. I'm the same way. I'd do the same thing. I love to have a party, absolutely. But I'm not going to invite Bush or Billy Crystal. Anyways, you know, they're all boring. Not exactly what's exciting America, is it now? Huh? So Joe Biden says, he wraps up and says, he says, voters cannot let this man be reelected president of these United States of America. No kidding, because Joe Biden wants the gig. He wants to fly around in Air Force One. He wants to be the big boy on campus. He wants to make all the decisions. Yeah, that's Biden. So, of course, he's going to say that. Yeah, we cannot let this man be a reelected president. He's having too much success. The economy's doing too good. Illegal immigration is down. He's doing too much for minorities and for others, for all Americans. How dare this president do that? But that damn Twitter feed he has, it's a mess. He's not acting like a president, damn fool. And then Joe has the gall to come out and say this. The reason this is the longest expansion in history is because of Barack Obama and my administration. What a statement to make. I mean, these people did nothing for the economy. They just tightened it up and regulated the hell out of business. They stifled capitalism like there's no tomorrow. They taxed us more everywhere they possibly could till we were gasped for air, till we couldn't breathe anymore. Listen, as an entrepreneur, as an executive, as a capitalist, yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. I want less government, less taxes. I want less bureaucrats. I want less goofy politicians buttering my bread. Thank you very much. I'll tell you what, sickening, isn't it? Wow, to take credit for that, you talk about low esteem. You talk about gumption. That's Joe Biden, man. I got to tell you what. I mean, talk about the audacity to try to take credit for all the work that has happened in this economy, which everybody in there, even everybody knows, no matter where you sit in the political aisle, you know darn well Barack Obama didn't build this economy. Get out of here. The left knows that. Why do you think they don't talk about the economy? Why do you think they don't talk about President Barack Obama's legacy? Why do you think Obama's name doesn't come up much? Because he was the worst president in our history, people. We just lived through it. In fact, if you think of it in these terms, I'll be bold enough to say this to you right now. How fortunate are you and I? Well, we're damn fortunate, because here's why. In our lifetime, I'm going to put this right here. I'll tell you what. We have lived through the worst president of our nation, of our republic. We've lived through the worst. That's Barack Obama, probably tips the scale on that. And I'm pretty certain of that statement with everything he did to our country. And at the same time, we probably could possibly, potentially, it looks like we're headed that way, live through the most popular, most interesting president in our lifetimes. Now, that's saying a lot, people, because we've had some good presidents over the years. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to mention RR or jelly beans to you. But you know we've had some good presidents. It's been a while. I mean, you have to go back a little bit when you come through all the Bush and Clinton years and all that nonsense, huh? But you get the point.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
And I ask that question, is President Trump a racist? I had not talked to this person before about race or the president, and I was curious to get their response, knowing they would give me an honest response. Well, that person said back to me, not necessarily, but he is ignorant. And the person went on to say, yes, he wants to spar with anyone and everyone. Because I asked the person to define ignorant, please. And their definition of ignorant was that he doesn't know enough to be quiet. And the person went on to tell me about leadership and the fact that what this president is lacking is leadership. Because a leader wouldn't be ignorant. A leader wouldn't put that out there and get people to spar just to spar. And so their answer was, he may or may not be a racist, but he is absolutely ignorant. Now, to some of you, when you hear that, you say, wow, that's a hell of a way to start this conversation. But listen, let's look at that a moment here. There are two sides, as there is with everything. For about just all of our lifetimes, and politics has been very predictable. We all know what to expect. We know they're going to rob us blind. We know that they don't represent us. We know that they don't fulfill their campaign promises. We know that they overpromise and underdeliver almost exclusively. I mean, you can count on that from a politician, right? Well, all right. So there's a good piece of the populace. Let's call it half. Maybe it's not quite half, but we'll call it half for this purpose. And these people are enjoying this, what I call entertainment politics, you see, because it puts a little sugar on the topic. It spices it up. It makes it interesting. And it engages those people that it is kind of funny. And especially when the president uses his Twitter feed, you know, in the way that he does. You know, imagine if President Trump had been the president, you know, 20 years ago, there would have been no Twitter. And he couldn't have used that. I wonder what that would have been like. Can you imagine a President Trump without a Twitter feed? Exactly. Interesting, though, how timing is everything in life, isn't it? You know, I mean, we now have Twitter. We now have this 24/7 connection. We now have a social media feed that feeds the world. It's an interesting way to look at it, though. So this whole thing about, so some people are really enjoying this. And I have people I know and people that, associates, friends, others who like it. They say, hey, listen, you know, it's all good. The president is not being politically correct. It's fun. And it's okay. There's no damage. And he's really telling the truth. He's putting out there what others would dare to say. Now, listen, there's no question this president is a daredevil. And he will put out there things that you will sometimes, or at least we used to, do a double take on. I'm not so sure now we ever do a double take anymore because we kind of have seen just about anything he's willing to put out there. But early on, I remember I used to do a double take at least. Sometimes a triple take. Did he really say that? Yeah, he really said that. But now we've all become, you keep doing the same thing. You become immune to it, you know? And you say, oh yeah, that's President Trump on Twitter telling somebody off. And unless it goes really across the line that you might cringe, but it takes a lot to do that. Although I may have a couple examples in a moment to share with you on that end. But so you have part of the population who really like this, but here's the problem. The other half of the population are really ripping pissed. They don't like this ignorant president, as this person called it. Now, the person I spoke about, too, is more of an independent, maybe a little left of center, but probably more independent-minded. That's the way I would take that person. Could vote for either party if it was the right person. But, you know, I've been thinking about a lot in recent days and weeks and as to why there are those, and a good many of those, who hate the president so badly, that are willing to call him a white supremacist, that are willing to call him a racist, that are willing to, and some of the things they've been talking about this president, you just never hear about a president. And I'm talking, you know, high-end Democrats, political operatives, presidential candidates, of course, media heads. I'm talking significant people who are using the words, and we'll prove it today on the program, people, you know, that this is really happening. And I've been thinking about that a lot and wondering, why are they so hateful? Why are they so full of hate and vile? And they're angry. Angry is the word. They're livid. And they don't like this man. They go out of their way to make him look like a fool any chance they can. They hate the president, and they hate anything and everything the president stands for. The president likes freedom. I don't like freedom. The president likes patriotism. I don't like patriotism. President likes the flag. I don't like the flag. I'm not going to stand for the flag. The president wants a wall. I don't like the wall. The president wants people to come here legally. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't like legal immigration. We like illegals. Come in, do your thing. Anything this president stands for, anything he likes, they don't like. They don't want. No matter how American is, no matter how apple pie it appears, no matter how it tastes, they don't like it. They don't want it. They want no more of it. You see? Yeah, that's it. And it's because the president likes it. Now, that's what you call hate. That's hate. If you're willing to dump your president, and you're not really putting the country first, you're not doing what's in the best interest of the nation, of Americans, you really have to hate this president a lot. And let me tell you what, they hate him. So I've been thinking a lot about that in recent times, been analyzing that in my mind as to why. And a lot of it, I just really haven't been able to grasp or get my arms around truly, truly and understand. But I think I have a handle on it now, people, and I want to share it with you today on The Voice of a Nation. So when I asked this person that I know, this Black American, if President Trump was a racist, and they came out and said, you know, no, maybe, maybe not, but that's not the problem. He's ignorant. And then I let them make them define it ignorant, actually. And then they don't like how confrontational the president is. They don't like that. It's they think it's a lack of leadership. Well, it's certainly for a lot of those people, it's what do they call it? Not presidential, right? You got to be presidential. That was a joke initially when Trump took the Oval Office, remember? He's not presidential. He doesn't, you know, what was presidential? Well, you had to look and act and feel and be and do and say a certain way. You got to fit the mold, people. You got to fit the mold. You got to be presidential. Presidential means you take one on the chin for the team and you say nothing. Well, when you bite this president with a comment or an outrage or something, he bites back twice as hard. He's like a pit bull in the dog of the neighborhood where you're walking down and the pit bull is right there. Arr! He's going to come at, that's President Trump. You step in his yard when he told you not to come in, he's going to come at you twice as hard. And the president is a patriot. The president cares deeply about the nation. I don't believe the president is a racist. I'm certain of it. I'm 100% certain of it. I'm hoping to convince you today as well that he's not a racist. He's not a white supremacist. I'm positive of it. I'm confident of it. I mean, he likes a good battle. He likes to, you know, he likes to crank the music up, people. He likes to party. He's a different kind of president, for damn sure. I don't know if we'll ever go back to traditional politics. Can you imagine electing another boring Bush in there or something like that? I don't think so. Do you think we're ever going back there again? I hope not. I think we sort of like this entertainment politics. It's kind of fun. And not only that, but he's effective. He's effective as hell. That's also driving them crazy, by the way. Wink, wink. That's driving, because they can't grab back onto power, people. You see, you can't grab back onto power when the president's doing a good job. You can't, you notice nobody talks about the economy. What's the economy mean? What are you talking about? Now, the economy is always the biggest thing anybody talks about in a presidential race. At this point, there's no sound of an economy. They don't even know what the word means. What do you mean economy? It's a foreign language. We don't want to talk about the economy. Get out of here. They want to talk about other things like, you're a racist, you're a white supremacist, you're a xenophobe, you're a lying bastard, we hate you. And then they get into, and then the hate gets into kill, and then it really gets ugly at that point, and they want to hurt people. And that's where a lot of things have crossed the line. We've seen that with the whole MAGA hat and the restaurants and the public venue going after Trump supporters. And of course, Trump supporters get outraged because this is middle America. This is mom and dad. This is apple pie. This is Chevrolet. This is middle America, people. Get a life. These are people who make it happen. These are people who voted. These are people who get it. These are people who were tired of the political class. They were tired of boring politics. And they were tired of politicians lying through their teeth. Tired of politicians not following through on their promises. It's not what they wanted this time, people. It's that darn simple. And if they got to put up with a president who, as this person said, is a little ignorant because he likes to spar with people and they consider that maybe a little lack of leadership, well, so be it. As long as he's getting the job done. And it's kind of funny as he's doing it. Now, nobody really wants to admit what I'm saying. Nobody's really going to tell you what I'm going to tell you today because nobody wants to talk about the truth, and especially the right doesn't. They don't want to call the president out. He's a rock star. He's the current day Elvis Presley to these people. I mean, they don't really want to call it out, you know? Although, like the president said that time, he could go, what, he said in the middle of New York and Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody dead and it'd be fine? Something like that, he said, right? And he said, yeah, you go do it, you know, whatever. But that was the president's point that, listen, I'm pretty popular. I know I'm pretty popular, and I'm going to get it done. And of course, he's confident in that, people. But, you know, see, when you have success, you get a little leverage. It's like being the cocky CEO, you know, or the the guy that owned the best lemonade stand and sold the most lemonade. I mean, when you have success at your back, you've got the wind at your back. You can afford to be a little cocky. I know I was in sales and I did really well. And I was a Trump in sales. I was a little cocky. Yeah, you know, that's me. I'm the top sales guy. I think my you-know-what don't stink. I get that feeling. I've been there. We've all been there to some degree. When we are the best, we sometimes forget. Or maybe we don't forget. Sometimes we just enjoy it. I don't know. I probably did both of those things. There are times I forgot and there are times I enjoyed it. Pick your poison, people, right? Some of the tweets the president has put out, and we talk about ignorance, right? Again, some love it, some hate it. The problem is, people, here's the problem the president's happening. It's what's causing him the grief. And maybe not, because I think he's sleeping fine at night, actually. I don't think it's really concerning him. It's probably concerning more Americans and more middle Americans that are on the rope or on the fence or in the middle. It's concerning them more than it is him, probably. They probably have more sleepless nights than the president, I think. Those that really want the president to succeed, they're concerned. Some of them are concerned. The ones in that middle of the aisle, the blue dogs, the left of center, the moderates, the people I'm always telling you to invite in here that I want to have a real conversation. I want to tell them about the America we love and the America we see. You know, yeah, those are the people I'm speaking about. God-loving Americans who really are common sense but don't like the ignorance. They don't like the sparring and the controversy, and it's a little too much for them. Gets a little too hot in the kitchen, as they say, yeah? And so those people need a little more coaxing to look at all of this. And so these tweets, when he puts them out again, there are a lot of people who look at these tweets and they again, chuckle and laugh. Now, let's go through a few of these and examine them so we have the evidence in front of us here. So these are all recent tweets here. He puts one out, just watched a world-class loser. Now, when's the last time you heard a president of any kind say that? Right? Probably even the president of the Knights of Columbus doesn't talk that way, probably. But this president does. And there's a good part of the country that stands up and applauds that, and they like it. Probably not presidential, but he does not care. So he just watched a world-class loser, Tim O'Brien, who I haven't seen or spoken to in many years and knows nothing about me, except that he wrote a failed hit piece book about me 15 years ago. Fired like a dog from other jobs, saw him on Lion Brian Williams, Trump Slam Show, bad TV. Oh, you gotta love it. Now, what's the purpose of that tweet? Probably not a damn thing. Just to tell Tim O'Brien he's a nut and probably just to have a little bit of an endorphin flow. You know, because social media is endorphins for your brain and for your psyche. Makes you high a little bit. It's like a little bit of a crack trip, you know? So you get a little, that's what it is, endorphins. So when you get all those followers and likes in, that's all endorphin fever. It's like a drug trip or alcoholic. I'm a social media holic. I like all those likes and followers, and I need a lot of it, and every day, and that's my little bit of, it's endorphins. It feeds your brain. You get high. And the best part about it is, unless it really craps up your psyche, you're probably at least not going to kill your liver at all or ruin other parts of your body, although it could screw up your brain. Probably has already to a lot of people. In fact, we know it has, right? So now another one, very interesting. This was, you'll love this one. I don't know who Joaquin Castro is other than the lesser brother of a failed presidential candidate, 1% he's got there, who makes a fool of himself every time he opens his mouth. Joaquin is not the man that his brother is, but his brother, according to most, is not much. Keep fighting, Joaquin. Now, that's just a teaser tweet. That's an endorphin tweet on steroids right there. That's just having fun. It's put him on a yo-yo. And it's funny. It is funny. I read it and I laugh. But again, let me tell you what, the Castro brothers were not happy and their donors and people were not happy. And again, if there's any hope, maybe president probably doesn't need their voters. I mean, he's not trying to pull them in, obviously, because you don't win favors with these kinds of tweets. But if you ask me for those on the right who always ask, like, why do people hate him so much? Like, it's a dumb question when you ask that as a Republican or a conservative. When you ask that question, don't ask that question again, please. Stop asking that question. they hate him because the president wants them to hate him. Because you don't throw out tweets like this if you want everybody, if you want to be loved. Now, that's a dose of reality, people. Not a matter of whether you like it or not. It's a fact. It's the truth. That's why part of the population hates President Trump. That's why they're going to come after him. No matter what his success metric is, no matter how well the economy does, whether everybody's a multimillionaire tomorrow, whether the wall goes up three times over, whether illegal immigration gets cut back to nothing, whether everybody is happy the stock market is flourishing, people are still going to hate him. So he puts out another one on Biden, Joe Biden. I'm talking about Joe Bite Me, some people call him, right? And China. He says, watching sleepy Joe Biden making a speech, so boring. Well, the mainstream media will die in the ratings and clicks with this guy. It will be over for them, not to mention the fact that our country will do poorly with him. It will be one big crash, but at least China will be happy. Now, there's a lot of truth to that tweet, no question about it. But again, it is funny how he slams both China and Joe Biden in the one tweet, and the media, actually. That's a trifecta. I love those tweets where he puts out, and it is a trifecta. I think those are winning tweets. This is another one like it. He slams Biden, the media, and China all in the one tweet. I mean, those are brilliant tweets. It takes time to craft those properly, people. You got to give him credit. He probably would win the award. If they had an Emmy award or a tweet award or some sort of a social media award for the best tweets, the best sound bites, he'd win it because he has a lot of these trifecta tweets that are perfect. You know, you win in all categories. He's got that down, actually. Does really well. I love this next one. Watching fake news CNN is better than watching Shepard Smith, the lowest rated show on Fox News. And he says at Fox News, so he makes sure they see it. Actually, whenever possible, I turn to OANN. Again, that's another trifecta tweet. He slams multiple people in there. CNN gets slammed. Shepard Smith gets slammed, rightfully so, because he's a doofus. Fox News gets slammed, and he celebrates OANN. So that's almost a 4-for-1 there. That's a 4-bagger, probably. But that was kind of funny. I mean, it accomplished a lot there. And, of course, Shepard Smith is a moron. And everybody knows that. I mean, why do you even have him on there? And the president calls him out. It's kind of funny. Now, what did Shepard Smith do? I don't know. What does Fox News do? What are they going to do? The president just called you out, said you're a doofus. You got the lowest rated show on Fox News. I don't know what he says about that. I do wonder what Shepard Smith says that night. Does he have another cocktail that evening? Does he laugh? Or does he get mad or angry when he sees this tweet? Or does he think he's being, you know, getting some notoriety and celebratory success or status from the president, maybe? Could be. I don't know. You know, it's possible. And his response to Cummins, of course, on his house being robbed. He puts a tweet out, and this one was unbelievable. So you heard that one, Elijah Cummins, Representative Cummins, his house was robbed in Baltimore, which is kind of really eye-opening, people, since we've had this whole conversation about our America cities, and specifically Baltimore, and being that it's, you know, rat-infested, you know, in a place, which the president puts out there, depressed, sure. So he puts a tweet out after the house is robbed. He said, really bad news, exclamation mark. The Baltimore house of Elijah Cummins was robbed. Too bad, exclamation mark. I mean, that is a classic. That tweet belongs in the Hall of Fame. Never really said anything bad about Cummins. Just saying a fact. But my friends, you can read between those lines in a hot second. And the president accomplished a lot with it. That's another award-winning tweet. I love it. So just analyzing his tweets would now tell you why there are a good many people who hate this president. Now, so now you understand why. So don't ask the question again because you're going to make me ripping mad. You now know why people hate the president. So stop asking. That's why they hate the president. They think he's ignorant. They think he lacks leadership. And then other people say, well, he's just fighting back. Sure, he's fighting back. Just not what normally presidents do. See, this is a whole new world order President Trump has done. It's a whole new world order. We've not seen this before, people, in the White House. We've not seen this before in presidential politics. We've not seen it to this level before in Congress. We've not seen this in our politics before, period. And so This is a whole new charted, uncharted water here we're in. This is new ground. It's exciting. It's different. It's unique. Again, are we ever going back to boring politics? I'm not so sure. I don't know. I think you would all be bored out of your mind and probably be ready to give it to, you know, Farmer Joe after that. I don't know. Not Joe Biden now, but some other dude. We don't know who that is. But in any event, that's kind of why, now that we've answered that problem. So I want to talk next more about the Democrats. I've got a couple of interesting things here. Where the Democrats are, why this, what the public perception is of a lot of this, the impact, what's driving popular culture. What's driving popular culture? And then you see some of the crazy things the media and the headlines are saying. And with all the said, people, where's the tipping point?
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now, of course, Biden's not the only one. All the Democratic candidates are pretty lit for Trump, and they think he's doing a swell job. Elizabeth Warren tells the New York Times, without hesitation, Trump gave white supremacists aid and comfort. He's done the wink and a nod, she said. He's talked about white supremacists as fine people. He's done everything he can to stir up racial conflict and hatred in this country. Okay, Elizabeth. We get it. What's Trump call her again? Pocahontas, I guess. He's got a word for everybody, I know. And then, of course, Robert O'Rourke. He tells MS, or some people call it MSNBC. It's probably more appropriate phonetically, how to say that, right? Phonetically? MSNBC? That's the phonetic of that, right, I think? MSNBC. He's got a little bit of ring to it, actually, you know? Trump made it very clear that he's a white supremacist, of course. Bernie Sanders told CNN's Jake Tapper that he believes Trump is a white supremacist. So they're all called out their president now as a white supremacist. Amazing, isn't it? You know? And so it goes on and on and on. And of course, the another tweet the president sends out, he says, the Dems' new weapon is actually their old weapon, one which they never cease to use when they are down or run out of facts. Racism! They are truly disgusting, he says. They even used it on Nancy Pelosi. I will be putting out a list of all the people who have been so ridiculously accused. That was the president's tweet there. But, you know, this whole thing about racism is pretty sick. You know, when you have the best African-American and Hispanic unemployment, as Andrew points out, when you have a president who pushes through the criminal justice reform, which nobody could have gotten done and didn't get done, you know, when you create these empowerment zones, when you care enough to invite the right people. In fact, there was another piece that I read, I real briefly want to share with you. And the headline caught my attention because it was actor Isaac Washington. He was the star of Grey's Anatomy there. He praised President Trump for supporting the black agenda and slammed President Obama for not. Now, this is a man who voted twice. He says right in here, he voted twice very enthusiastically for 44, for President Obama. I voted for 44 twice. I even checked my emails in the Senate office while lobbying for Salone to be given another chance to rebrand. Not once in 8 years was I given any support regarding Africa or the black agenda. But 45 invites me to the White House to celebrate the hashtag First Step Act. And that was the whole prison reform thing. And the president did some pretty big things. That was with that woman, Alice Jones. That was quite a story, people. It was an eye-opener for all of us to see what he was doing here. I mean, and it absolutely caught our attention. But Isaac Washington is putting out here the fact, listen, he voted for Obama twice, but he didn't see what he did for, and he tagged a lot of people in this, like Van Jones, Louis Reed, Jesse Michelle, all kinds of people that he tagged in here to let them know, other vibrant people in the black communities, letting them know that, listen, here's a president. I appreciate people like this, like Isaac Washington, who speak truth to power, who say what's really the honest truth, which is what he's saying here. So this president has done plenty for the community, for the black America, for black America, for Hispanic America, which is probably why people coming into the 2020 election, he may get more of the black vote and more of the Hispanic vote than most people's would be, their mouths will drop on the floor when they see, probably, I'm going to predict that, when they see the final numbers. In fact, that's probably why the left right now is coming out with all their racist calls, because they are worried. They're concerned that they're losing the black vote. You see, they're concerned with the success the president is having. They're concerned with the success of what's happening now, with the success he's having with black America and what he's having with Hispanic America and all these minority. They're concerned. And they are concerned that they've got to, that's why they're coming out with the racist attacks. And so now why they've gone to this conversation here, and it kind of has changed a little bit here, if you remember here, there's the whole talk of where they started on this. I mean, the narrative has changed. It started with, neo-Nazis and skinheads, and then it was white nationalists and white populists, and then Trump's a nationalist, and he's a white supremacist, and he's a white supremacist racist, and it just keeps changing. They keep moving the goalposts down for what Trump is or is not, because the problem is they're losing. And you see, the time that the far left always pulls out the card of racism is when they're losing. It's when they need to pull those black votes in. It's when they need to pull them back on the plantation. It's when they need to enslave the Hispanic population and the black population and whatever, and the women population and whoever, like the whole thing about abortion and the woman's right. That's another thing they do. That's how the radical left control the people. You see, they want to control the populace that way. That's how they do it. And successfully, they've done it for a lot of years. They've convinced these people, these groups of Americans, that they have their back. But slowly but surely, Americans are discovering that they don't have their back. So that's why President Trump is a new phenomenon. They don't quite know what to make out of it, you see? They don't quite know where to go with that. It's different. It's different. Completely different what's happening right now, people. And they don't know what to make out of it, you see? So that's why they're using the racist card. I mean, this is the lowest possible denominator. This is scum. This is the far left, radical, Satanist, evil Marxist. This is low. This is the lowest possible denominator on the rung of human existence. So we've gone from wearing the red MAGA hats to beating them up in restaurants now. And then now we've gone to blaming El Paso shooting and blaming all of that on the president, that this vitriol is creating. They even blamed the knife attack in California. Somebody had a knife attack and killed four people. I haven't heard the cries yet about banning knives. But, you know, that they're blaming that on the president as well. So any possible cultural event phenomenon out there, they are blaming on President Trump. Because you see, that's all you have when that's all you have. when you have nothing left. That's what you have to use. That's why they've taken the story now to the neo-Nazi, white supremacist, devil, Satanist, evil baloney conversation, because that's all they got. They got nothing else. You see, Mueller didn't pan out for them. They can't get the tax forms. The court keeps shutting them off. They got nothing. I mean, they tried everything. This is like a football game that's out of control. You're in the fourth. It's like Groundhog Day at the worst possible football game you could possibly have. And they keep replaying the fourth quarter of the game. And they're running down the field and they can't make it happen. And so here's another Hail Mary. Here it is. And he fell on his ass. They tackled him. Now we got another. Here's another Hail Mary. And they keep trying. It's like Groundhog Day. And time has run out. The clock is gone. The people have gone home. The fat lady sang. It's over. It's done. President Trump, you're evil. We don't like you. Here's another Hail Mary, you white supremacist. Here's another one, you racist bastard. We don't like you anymore. What more do they got? There's no more Hail Marys. The clock's ticking. It's out. It's out of time. That's out of time, we hope. We'll see what the referee says in November 2020, right? We'll see what the referee is on the 2020 election. Correct? Yeah, that's where the referee will speak. That's where the American people will have their voice. Yeah. And so then you have to ask yourself, what's driving public opinion? What's driving public opinion, people? Yeah. And I've been looking at that recently. People aren't talking anymore. I've seen Twitter, somebody puts a tweet out here, says, my brother's family just called me a racist. So I said, if they thought that they should just stop talking to me, and I was sick to death of liberals. I just got a text from him saying I had deeply upset them with my aggressive response. They called me a racist. I'm done. And then you see, it's breaking up families. It's breaking up families and friends and others. And then after that, the people respond, you know, I think we have all lost friends and families. These are, again, tweets on top of the tweet here and people that are speaking out, you know. You love this because you get the vibe of what people really feel, you know. And the responses are interesting. I'm sorry. I'm so thankful I haven't had that problem. And people go on, but a lot of people have had that problem. And they're pointed out here in the tweets. Yeah. You just found out why some people call family the other F word. Wow. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of them here that people, I'm reading them right offline here. I mean, same thing happened to me with my 10 year best friend. She said she couldn't come over anymore because I'm a racist. Known each other since pre-K. Wow. I mean, there's so many here, I can't even get. I'm sick of the R word. Look at it this way. You spoke the truth and hit the nerve with them. It's amazing how you can get public opinion out there just by looking at social media and looking at the feeds, people. Anyways, that's what's driving public opinion. And families are not talking. And this is compliments of the public, of the political class, the people who are trying to seek the power, clearly. Well, creating this vitriol, but more than that, it's about the media elites as well, who are playing this thing to a tune. And they're playing it with their agenda. You know, that's how they're playing this thing. You know? And you see words in a lot of the media. You see MSNBC, rather. They're one of their people, I guess, Nicole Wallace. I don't watch the channel, so I'm not familiar with her. But she's some sort of an anchor or something on there. She had to apologize for saying Trump wants Latinos exterminated. Isn't that nice? Yeah, this is what Wallace says now. So she sent a tweet out to walk back a Monday on-air statement implying that President Trump had called for the extermination of Latinos. She says, I misspoke. Sorry, I misspoke. About Trump calling for an extermination of Latinos. My mistake was unintentional, and I'm sorry. Yeah. Trump's constant assault on people of color and his use of the word invasion to describe the flow of illegal immigration is intentional and constant. Oh, God, I don't even know how to respond to that one, people. I'll let you respond. How's that? And I got to tell you this. Of course, everyone knows the Atlantic is a rag, as they all are a rag. The entire media is a rag. The whole populist program is a rag. It's all garbage for the mind, for the brain. It's eggs in a pan, so drugs on brain, you know? Yeah, that's what that is. Trump's words are poison is the headline of this one. We don't know, and we may never know, how much President Donald Trump's rhetoric influenced the white supremacists in El Paso, who killed 22 people. What we do know is that Trump has done more than any politician in living memory to fan the flames of ethnic and racial and nurture a culture of bigotry. I mean, this is what's happening, people. They don't know how to get the control back, so it's all racist. A generation from now, when historians look back at the defining features of the Trump era, among the most prominent will be his dehumanizing rhetoric, the cruelty, and, you know, it's on and on and on, the hate and the incitements to violence and the subhuman, and come on, you know. There are those people who think he's ignorant because he doesn't show the political class of being a president the way they see a president that it should be, that a president should act, or the way the president has acted in our history. And this president doesn't play to that tune, and they do not like it. The Billy Crystals of the world don't like it. He's broken the mold of what we expect from this Oval Office. He has broken the mold of how we see our commander-in-chief, our leader. He's broken the mold for somebody who dares to speak so frank and so direct to the American people. They are losing their collective minds that this white supremacist, neo-Nazi scumbag would do that. As Ben Carson says, if we could stop being politicians and be representative of the people. Wow. What a novel idea when I heard that, people. Profound words from Ben Carson. I'll leave you with these words. Race should not play a part in our politics. For too long, it has been a scar on our country. We should focus instead on the issues and what's going on to help make America strong for everyone. And that, my friends, is the tipping point. It is the point that America the Beautiful finds itself at as we continue the march forward in the land of liberty.